The 12th annual Washington County Cheese Tour with wine and beer is taking place September 8th and 9th. From all kinds of just beautiful cheeses, anything you can imagine. The annual Washington County Cheese, Wine, and Beer Tour will delight palates and enthrall cheese lovers. Next weekend, several creative farmstead cheesemakers, brewers, and vineyards in Washington County will open their farms and businesses to the public. At each farm, guests will sample specially selected cheeses, wine, and beer while experiencing firsthand the region's longstanding cheesemaking traditions, reaching back to the 19th century. It is a great pleasure to welcome Angela Miller from the Consider Bardwell Farm. That is located in West Paulett, Vermont, but you get in under the wire in Washington County because you're that close.
Our farm is half in Washington County.
Yes. So there you go. The mailbox is in Paulett, the farm and the...
Now let's not split hairs.
Okay, right. I have dual citizenship in my town as well. Okay. Also, we welcome Kelly Taylor from R.S. Taylor and Sons Brewing, one of my favorite spots in Hebron, New York. One of my favorite spots. It happens to be in Hebron, New York. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. Thank you.
Good to see you again, as always. And my dear friend Jerry Barnhart, who is from Victory View Vineyard. His mailing address is Scaticoke, but he's really in Easton and a Washington County boy as well. So good morning. How are you?
Good to see you, Joe. Thanks for having us.
Wonderful. So let us talk. We'll begin, I guess, Angela, with you, given that this is a cheese tour and you've brought cheese. So tell us a little bit about this. Have you been a part of this for all 12 years?
I have, one of the founding members.
So how did it come about? I mean, there are a lot of cheesemakers in Washington County, and there's a lot to offer, isn't there?
Yeah, there were five of us, and we were all excited about creating a tour of a free to sample and free to visit farms, and it turned out to be wildly successful, and we've built on it every single year. And 2 years ago, we decided to expand with beer and with wine. And this year, we're adding another Bentonville Valley Creamery in Salem.
Yeah, Salem-ish. Yeah, they're not too far from you in Hebron, Casa, you know.
Everybody's
ish. It gets very complicated, right?
Right.
But in that neck of the woods. When you look at this of speaking for your colleagues, this is a really neat way for you to show off what you do.
It enables us to show off to visitors as well as local people,
yeah.
And we provide entertainment and talks about cheese and talks about goats and cows and really try to entertain and educate the up to 2,000 visitors that we've had every year.
That's really good. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a great number. How many cows do you have on the farm?
We have about 200 goats mm-hmm. on our farm, and then we have two partner farms, one next door and one a mile away, and they milk a total of 60 cows. And the one next door pastures on our land, and his cows are provided with our hay all winter.
Yeah.
So they're truly partnerships without partnership contracts.
And it's very geographic then, too. I mean, it's really from that land.
Very local terroir.
Yeah.
Consider Bardwell terroir. Taste of place.
I love it when yes. Angela uses those wine terms.
So, as you mentioned, wine and beer gets included here, and I'm a big beer guy, but I do love wine. So, but you always think of wine and cheese, but it makes sense, and I'm glad beer was included as well, especially considering we have such wonderful breweries in the county as well. But Jerry, let's start with wine, and before we do a tasting, just give us a sense of the vineyards that are around and the market that you have in Washington County.
So our primary market is the Capital District, Saratoga region, western Massachusetts, southern Vermont, and western Connecticut. Although we're starting to expand slowly, we just signed our first deal to start distributing our wine to a New York City restaurant this week. So that's exciting for us. Our customers are primarily millennials and then older folks. We find that Older folks have time and disposable income and looking for something to do, love to come and visit beautiful Washington County. And we offer an experience that they enjoy and expose them to some new and different wines. The millennials tend to be very excited about trying new things, and they're willing to try new things. They're not necessarily wedded to drinking their mother and father's wine, so they're very receptive to trying the varieties of grapes and the wines that we make. We're really fortunate. We have a great site to grow grapes on our farm. We can produce really good fruit, and that's really the key to making good wine. Our philosophy is that good wine is grown, and that's the path that we follow to craft our wines.
You know, Kelly, it's one of the fascinating things of my time at your place, R.S. Taylor in Hebron, is that just to what Jerry was saying, you have a lot of locals, but the people who come in with the maps, I mentioned this the other day on the air, we were talking about this PBS series. The people who come in with the maps, or like the passports, who are looking for the stamps, and they have, it's fascinating. I am forever blown away by how many people come in. It's great, but it's really interesting.
It is.
And they're from all over.
They are. We get people from New Jersey, Connecticut, you know, Vermont, Pennsylvania. People are looking for an authentic experience. And I think that Washington County is one of those areas that still provides a genuine agricultural experience. There's real working family farms there. We're also doing the next generation, which I think we're a part of,
right,
which is, you know, the beverage and, you know, the rural entrepreneurs like Angela and our other members like Leah from Moxie Ridge Farm. That's what people are seeking. It's not just a local experience. It's a genuine agricultural experience that they want to find.
And they can certainly find it through this tour and through and visiting these farms and seeing what is out there and what is offered. And, oh, by the way, it's absolutely gorgeous going from one place to the other. It's a hell of a ride. So let us begin. Let's eat and drink now. Let's get to that part. And because I'm ready. Angela, you have brought two different cheeses?
We're tasting two.
Okay.
This morning, we have several to leave for your staff here.
The staff thanks you. Okay.
We're trying a cow milk cheese called Paulet, which is where Consider Bard Wells mailbox is, named after our town. And it's a yellow, mild. It's our crowd pleaser. 37% of all of our 110,000 pounds of cheese is Paulet.
Okay, so this is sort of the entry cheese.
It's an entry cheese, and the fun it is. It's called a gateway.
Yeah, the gateway cheese.
And it is true that kids love it, families love it, and cheese geeks love the rind because it's got a complexity and umami.
It does. So explain what that is.
Umami?
Yeah.
Umami is the fifth taste. Salt, sour, bitter, sweet, something and umami. Sour and umami.
Yeah.
Umami.
It is. It's lovely.
Thank
and
you.
Very creative. But it isn't. Sometimes when you get cheeses like that, they don't have, for want of a better term, a bite to them. But this one has a just a nice texture and a beautiful.
It has a brightness that's acidity.
Yeah.
But it's not overly acid.
Now, does it make sense for me to try the wine before or should we go to the other cheese and then try?
With this cheese, I would try that white wine. That's
okay.
Our wine that we call Fieldstone. It's a light, clean, crisp white that we lightly oak. And
no, I didn't have this the other night, did I?
No, I don't often take this out in public because we don't make a lot of it. But
well,
we will have
brought it here. Yeah.
We will have it available for the cheese tour, and it does pair really well with the Paula cheese.
All right. Well, you were right. That pairs lovely. That's wonderful. So tell me about what grape you fascinated me. I tell the story all the time because when you all got started and you came on the show, you brought the I believe it was from Cornell, the mapping of the grape what it took to get a grape to grow in Washington County.
Right.
And that forever fascinated me of what that took. And this is the result.
Right. So this grape was actually developed in the state of Wisconsin. It's called La Crosse. It was developed by a guy named Elmer Swenson, who was a character, beer-drinking dairy farmer who got interested in growing grapes in midlife and now has about 30 named grape varieties.
God bless him.
Yeah, great guy. It's very cold hardy, so it does well in our area. Yep. And it just makes a wonderful light white wine. It's great in the summer and fall. Especially with cheese or lighter foods.
It is. It's beautiful and very, crisp. Is that a...
Crisp is a word you hear a lot of people use to describe this wine.
Yeah, is that a proper word?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Okay. I'm going to make sure I'm not screwing it up here. Now, what is the other cheese that we have?
So the other cheese is called Slyborough, named after Slyborough Cider House.
In Granville.
Granville.
Or Middle Granville, right?
And it's a goat milk cheese. It's called a washed rind. It has a softer rind, and it has more moisture than the Paulet.
And I don't think I remember you saying how many goats you had, and then I remember me thinking, oh, my God, that's a lot of goats. How many was it?
Well, we milk 140.
Okay.
And then we have to have boy goats additionally.
Right.
And
the birds and bees of goats.
So we have close to 200 because of all the babies as well.
That's great.
Yeah. So Slyborough just won the gold medal first prize at the American Cheese Society competition less than a month ago.
And where's that held?
And that was this year in Pittsburgh. It's different.
Nice.
Different city every year.
It's a great cheese.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. So what? Tell me about the rind. Tell me about the cheese.
The rind is edible, and the cheese is a washed rind, so it's high moisture. It's like 43% moisture. It's aged for 60 days, and then we get it out to the markets and distributors. The Paulet is aged 4 months, so it's a drier cheese. It's sweet. The Slyborough is sweet and pliable.
Yeah,
and
it's very melty.
In another hour, if it's out for another hour, it'll be like soft butter.
Mm.
Yum.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's beautiful. Those are, it's both, let me get this right. So Slyborough, and then the other one before that was Paulet. All right. We tried the Marquette wine. Now we have, now we go to beer, and from our dear friends at R.S. Taylor & Sons Brewery, and you brought what?
We brought our Golden Ale, which
this is one of my favorites.
Yes, this is our flagship beer.
Yep.
At the tap room, we actually have it named Belchertown Ale.
Yes.
Named after the hamlet right next door to us. But for distribution purposes, we thought Golden Ale would be a little easier for people to
Although
to
Belchertown
recognize.
Is funny.
It is funny for beer. It's very funny. But anyway, so my husband brews in the English style.
Yes.
So this is what would be considered, it could fall into either the category of an extra special bitters or a special bitters.
Yep.
It's kind of between the two. And that would be the type of beer that if you walked into any pub in the UK or Ireland and asked for, you know, the house beer, you would get a bitters of some sort. ESB is the shorthand for an extra special bitters or a special bitter. So this would be the flagship beer that you would find if you walked into any type of English tap room.
And yet, when we use that word bitter, it is not really all that bitter, is it?
That is correct. So the term bitter, you're right, really doesn't describe the flavor of it. This is definitely a maltier beer.
Yep.
So it is not going to be as hoppy as an IPA would be. The British have a few quirks, as any culture does, when it comes to food and beverages, and that's just one of those quirks. So we don't want to scare people off. It's really not a bitter beer at all. In fact, it's quite malty compared to a lot of American beers.
And what is the alcohol content?
This one, I think, is... Oh, it's 4.5% here.
Oh, so you can have... Yeah.
It is. It's a very drinkable beer.
You have quite a few of those.
Yeah. If you want to call it a sessionable beer, you could call it a sessionable beer. But we have a lot of people that tell us after trying it, they're like, wow, this tastes like beer. So that's, you know, people say, what does it taste like? It tastes like beer.
It tastes like beer. Yeah. And really good, well-crafted beer.
Thank you.
Now, what else do you have on tap?
Right now we have our Cross-Eyed Mary, which is an English strong ale.
And it is strong, but boy, is it good. And that's rare. You don't have that all the time.
That's correct. Yeah, we do that usually seasonally, but we wanted to get that out a little earlier this year for the fall.
That's great.
That clocks in at about 11% ABV.
That's fine.
And we're just finishing up our Grapefruit Shandy, which is our wheat beer series. That's our latest in our wheat beer series.
And that was also very good.
Yeah, it's very refreshing. We've done others in that series. We did a hibiscus, lime. We've done blood orange, wheat beers.
So we still have the coconut?
We do. And in fact, that's our second flagship beer, actually, is the coconut stout. We'll be bringing that back in September. I think mid-September we'll have that back again.
That's a great beer, too.
Yeah, thank you.
And so what else will you be pouring, Jerry?
So I'm going to have you try a little bit of our Turning Point, which is our flagship red.
All right. Oh, there we go. I'll get the glass to you. Thank you. Thank you. Excellent. I'm going to finish up this golden ale. Huh?
And the Turning Point really goes well with Angela's goat cheeses. It's a heavier wine, aged in American oak barrels, so it has some real nice oak.
It is. Now, I did have this the other night.
You did. Yep.
This is beautiful. And it's Marquette.
It's made from a grape called Marquette, which was developed at the University of Minnesota, released commercially in 2006, and it's the first grape we planted back in 2008.
And you, this is just, I ask this question from nothing but driving by your place every day, which is, are you planting more? Because it seems like you are growing up there on the hill.
We are. We're getting ready to add another 2.5 acres of vines next year, next spring. We're at about 3.5 acres now, which produces enough fruit for us to make almost 1,000 cases of wine a year. So,
well, it is the Washington County Cheese Tour with beer and wine. And it is happening on the 8th and 9th of September, so both Saturday and Sunday. You can find out more by going, and this is the greatest URL ever, thecheesetour.com, thecheesetour.com. And you can find out all the information about all the farms, all the hours, everything that you need to know. And just go explore the county, explore these wonderful farms and what they're producing. And any advice for anybody who's coming out?
Bring your appetite.
Yeah.
And sensible shoes.
And a driver if you want.
Always a good plan.
Always a good plan. Well, I can't thank you all enough. Angela Miller is from Consider Bardwell Farm, Kelly Taylor from R.S. Taylor & Sons Brewing, and Jerry Barnhart from Victory View Vineyard, all part of the Washington County Cheese Tour with wine and beer. It's the 12th annual event taking place September 8th and 9th. And again, you can find out more information by going to thecheesetour.com. Thank you all for being here. It's a pleasure. And I'll see you very soon at your establishments.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.